Chapter 6, The Plan of Redemption.
The fall of man filled all heaven with sorrow. The world that God had made was blighted with the curse of sin and inhabited by beings doomed to misery and death. There appeared no escape for those who had transgressed the law. Angels ceased their songs of praise. Throughout the heavenly courts, there was mourning for the ruin that sin had wrought. The Son of God, heaven's glorious commander, was touched with pity for the fallen race. His heart was moved with infinite compassion as the woes of the lost world rose up before him. But divine love had conceived a plan whereby man might be redeemed. The broken law of God demanded the life of the sinner. In all the universe, there was but one who could, in behalf of man, satisfy its claims. Since the divine law is as sacred as God himself, only one equal with God could make atonement for its transgression. None but Christ could redeem fallen man from the curse of the law and bring him again into harmony with heaven. Christ would take upon himself the guilt and shame of sin. Sin so offensive to a holy God that it must separate the Father and his Son. Christ would reach to the depths of misery to rescue the ruined race. Before the Father, he pleaded in the sinner's behalf, while the host of heaven awaited the result with an intensity of interest that words cannot express. Long continued was that mysterious communing, the Council of Peace, Zechariah 6, verse 13, for the fallen sons of men. The plan of salvation had been laid before the creation of the earth, for Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, Revelation 13, verse 8. Yet it was a struggle, even with the King of the universe, to yield up his Son to die for the guilty race. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3, verse 16. Oh, the mystery of redemption! The love of God for a world that did not love him. Who can know the depths of that love which passeth knowledge? Through endless ages, immortal minds, seeking to comprehend the mystery of that incomprehensible love, will wonder and adore. God was to be manifest in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19. Man had become so degraded by sin that it was impossible for him, in himself, to come into harmony with him whose nature is purity and goodness. But Christ, after having redeemed man from the condemnation of the law, could impart divine power to unite with human effort. Thus, by repentance toward God and faith in Christ, the fallen children of Adam might once more become sons of God. 1 John 3, verse 2. The plan by which alone man's salvation could be secured involved all heaven in its infinite sacrifice. The angels could not rejoice as Christ opened before them the plan of redemption, for they saw that man's salvation must cost their loved commander unutterable woe. In grief and wonder they listened to his words as he told them how he must descend from heaven's purity and peace, its joy and glory and immortal life, and come in contact with the degradation of earth to endure its sorrow, shame, and death. He was to stand between the sinner and the penalty of sin. Yet few would receive him as the Son of God. He would leave his high position as the majesty of heaven, appear upon earth and humble himself as a man, and by his own experience become acquainted with the sorrows and temptations which man would have to endure. All this would be necessary in order that he might be able to succor them that should be tempted. Hebrews 2, verse 18. When his mission as a teacher should be ended, he must be delivered into the hands of wicked men and be subjected to every insult and torture that Satan could inspire them to inflict. He must die the cruelest of deaths, lifted up between the heavens and the earth as a guilty sinner. He must pass long hours of agony, so terrible that angels could not look upon it, but would veil their faces from the sight. He must endure anguish of soul, the hiding of his Father's face, while the guilt of transgression, the weight of the sins of the whole world, should be upon him. The angels prostrated themselves at the feet of their commander and offered to become a sacrifice for man. But only an angel's life could not pay the debt. Only he who created man had power to redeem him. Yet the angels were to have a part to act in the plan of redemption. Christ was to be made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Hebrews 2, verse 9. As he should take human nature upon him, his strength would not be equal to theirs, and they were to minister to him, to strengthen and soothe him under his sufferings. They were also to be ministering spirits, sent forth to minister for them who should be heirs of salvation. Hebrews 1, verse 14. They would guard the subjects of grace from the power of evil angels and from the darkness constantly thrown around them by Satan. When the angels should witness the agony and humiliation of their Lord, they would be filled with grief and indignation and would wish to deliver him from his murderers. But they were not to interpose in order to prevent anything which they should behold. It was a part of the plan of redemption that Christ should suffer the scorn and abuse of wicked men, and he consented to all this when he became the Redeemer of man. Christ assured the angels that by his death he would ransom many and would destroy him who had the power of death. He would recover the kingdom which man had lost by transgression, and the redeemed were to inherit it with him and dwell therein forever. Sin and sinners would be blotted out, never more to disturb the peace of heaven or earth. He bade the angelic host to be in accord with the plan that his Father had accepted, and rejoice that, through his death, fallen man could be reconciled to God. Then joy, inexpressible joy, filled heaven. The glory and blessedness of a world redeemed outmeasured even the anguish and sacrifice of the Prince of Life. Through the celestial courts echoed the first strains of that song which was to ring out above the hills of Bethlehem. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Luke 2, verse 14. With a deeper gladness now than in the rapture of the new creation, the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Job 38, verse 7.